Welcome to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs Postgame Edition. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors, professional and efficient service since 2004, serving the Kingston and surrounding areas. Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans, here's your host, Jordan Webster.
Well, CP, I'm pretty sure whatever Keith said last game worked. Because this game was much different. We had Gio dressing in for Liljegren, scoring a goal. 10 shots on goal, but no number 60 for Matthews. And the Leafs take the Caps easily, 5-1. They could have had more if it wasn't for that pesky Lindgren and that dog, too. The Leafs had 48 shots tonight. Lindgren stopped 43. We're back on Split the Defense, Leafs post-game. Thumbs up this episode. Subscribe to our YouTube. Rate us 5 stars and get her going in the comments. So who do you got for first star tonight, CP, and what do you take away from this one?
I think I'm going to give it to Gio. Really good game from Gio for sitting out for so long, and to score right off the bat was good. I loved his celebration, too, where he's kind of pointing up for a little bit of a homage to his dad. So
that one's for dad.
Yeah, so I really like that. It was good to see Gio back. I was a little bit nervous because, like, first off, like, he went out last time kind of in a – like somewhat of an injury situation. Could have been much worse, but and also just like he's a guy that we potentially need to see down the road. So like I could see like in the playoffs that he slots into a few games. So good to get him into some games. And I mean, just otherwise, like it's hard not to give it to Bert though, because you know, 2 goals, like had a really good game. The line's still vibing. So
well, they're lucky. I love them, but like they're both lucky. Goaltender gave one away. The other one went off his back. He banked it in. Like, yeah, two good goals, two lucky goals. Yeah, 2 good goals. Not like he sniped or anything, though. No. But yeah, good goals. So yeah, we had Gio in because Maple Leafs defenseman Timothy Liljegren was not available all of a sudden before the game started. So then Gio gets the call. He dresses in, scores a goal. We had Gio with Timmins tonight. Now, all in all, can't say much bad about that, can you?
No, like defensively in general, it's like there's a few like instances where like they had some trouble like defending in front of the net, just kind of the typical Leaf thing, but for the most part, like a way better game than last game. You know, it's maybe a little bit easier of competition, like but I just enjoyed like how they played tonight. You still got a lot of offense, but defensively, like especially with guys out of the lineup, like look like pretty decent. Timmins too, like you know, like that's again like a pairing that I'm a little worried about going into the game, but definitely like played really well. Timmins is just one of those guys where like he can have some like really good games, he can have some really awful games, and you know, today he kind of had a good game. Maybe not a really good game, but a good game.
He had a good game. He, you know, he has flashes. He does look good. He makes good moves, and when he makes bad moves in the same game, it really it scratches it all out. But he does. He has skill there. You can't blame the guy. He hasn't fucking played. Like he's been sitting on the bench for like 3 years or hurt. Like he hasn't played much. He's gotta play the game to refine his game and get good. If he's never fucking playing, then he's never gonna get the chance to do that. So hopefully he gets more time. Hopefully, you know, is he still on contract next year? Or is this his second year?
One more year.
So we got him 1 more year. So maybe he plays more next year. Who knows? Maybe he can find it. But really, the story tonight was a Joe Woll comeback game. Was it not, CP? He had that tipping goal by Dowd, but like that was one of the most beautiful tips I've ever seen in my life. Like when that went in, I went, like, you can't stop that. That was amazing. What a tip. But you know, you can't blame Joe Woll for that. Besides that, he just shut them down.
Yep, for sure. Like a lot of help from his defense. No, like didn't have to like stand on his head a lot, which is always nice for a goalie. But yeah, great confidence booster, I'm sure, for him. Good to see him just be like regular Joe Woll again. Like I feel like he had similar games to this. Quality wise and like how easy it was. Like his kind of first 2 starts, and you know, still didn't go so hot. So yeah, good to see him to be able to control it. And great game from him.
Great game from Joe Woll. It's nice to see a bounce back from him.
Yeah.
Ilya Samsonov is apparently ready by his own words. He's available.
There's but, a backup.
But still, yeah, it's nice to see Joe Wool playing well. I'd like to have them fight for that position. All in all, I'd like them the next, you know, there's only 10 games. That's the problem. 10 games left in the season. But all in all, I'd like to see Joe Wool come out at the end of the season and us be like, yes, he's the guy. But, I mean, with 10 games left, it's hard for me to not just back Ilya Samsonov as your game one starter. If he does well, he keeps playing. You know, you pretty much you play till you lose kind of thing. I don't know. But
I think ideally you want to have the decision made like a week before the playoffs. But, you know, that's like what? Like 6 games away. So,
yeah,
it's one of those where it's probably going to come down to like the last 2 games and we might not be sure who it's going to be besides just who sits. And, you know, who sits the last couple games is probably the guy who's going to go on game one. It's going to come down to it.
It's a good problem to have, having both goalies playing good rather than having them both play like shit and not knowing who you're going to play. Let's be talking about, well, maybe Martin Jones is a viable option. At least we don't have to go down that road.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be the end of the world if we had to go down that road, but yeah, really nice that he's a clear third guy. So,
yeah. So Matthews was really pumping it tonight. 10 shots on goal. Do you think that they were? I mean, I know they were up 5-1, but do you think it was too obvious at the end of the game there? He was firing everything. The puck was constantly going to him, and like, maybe he just needs to sneak that 60th in and get it off his chest, and then he'll get through and he'll score, you know, 4 or 5 more. Can't wait any more games. You know, it's going to start building up here. Like, he's going to start to feel it when it starts to get less and less games and he's only gotten 6, because he's supposed to get 70, right? The talk all year has been 70, and now he's struggling to get 60. Now, we got 10 games left, and then you get 9 games. If he doesn't score for 3 more games, he's looking at 7 games. Like, you know, the pressure's going to be on for him to reach that achievement again. No doubt he'll reach it, but I just wonder if maybe they are trying a little too hard to get it tonight.
Yeah, for a guy who is like questionable to be in this game because I think of like illness, was, you know, pretty outstanding. Like at the beginning, in the first couple periods, like I didn't see as much of like the just trying to get everything on. And, you know, he's really developed his playmaking, I feel, since Marner's been gone, not gone, injured, out. So I really liked his game off the start. No question that he was just trying to get it. I kind of hate these situations. Like Marner when he was chasing 100, and like there's just I hate chasing records. And if he ended with 59 goals, like I wouldn't care. But I mean, it wouldn't bode well like going into the playoffs, I guess, if he wouldn't score for the rest of the season. But you know, like I think the 70 days like time is over. He gets 60, 62, 65. You know, whatever it is, it's amazing, you know. So, like, hopefully if he does go on, like, a little dry spell, then, like, the last, you know, 3 games, 4 games, like, he gets 1 in each. Maybe he has a 2-goal game just to kind of, like you said, like, build some confidence. And, like, potentially, I guess he's going to sit out maybe a game or two before, like, the end. Like, that has
probably
been tradition.
More than likely. Yeah. But it's not out of the question for Austin Matthews to have another hat trick before the end of the year. Like, it's not complete. I wouldn't be crazy if I was to say he could get 2 more hat tricks before the end of the year. That's just how crazy this guy is. So, like, you know, you never know. Could end up with 66, 67, 68 somewhere here just by scoring in a few more games. But I just think that he was forcing it a little bit too much tonight.
Yeah, yeah, he was for sure. He's like the 2-goal champ, right? Like he loves getting 2 goals in a game. So, you know, mix in a couple of those, a few single games, you know, maybe a hat trick. But yeah, like you can climb up there pretty quick. And I don't know, like realistically, what's his goal currently? Like, is it, you know, is he just trying to break 60? Is it like just getting more than last time, which would be like, you know, 65, right? Or I just think, like, what's his goal? And I hope it's still not set too high.
It should be to play the right way. His goal should be to be able to learn to score goals while playing the right way. Now, maybe 60 is something that you want to get because he'd be the only active player in the league with 2 60-goal seasons. That'd be something. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's not going to be forever. the point is that that's got to be it, right? After he scores 60, that's why I say it's a monkey off his back. He's got to get it off his chest. He's got to get that sneaky one, you know, just let it happen. And then that's where I think the hat-trick nights could come in. There's still 10 games. Like, that's still 10 games worth of hockey he could score. Like, I mean, if he scores at the pace that he does, then there's a good chance he gets a you know, another few goals before the end of the season. And who doesn't say they all come in one game?
The good thing is that he's like, his line's still being productive, and like, maybe he's not putting it in, but like, you know, Bertuzzi got two tonight. So like, it is nice that, you know, even though it's, he's not chasing it so hard that he's not like, you know, losing his minutes or anything. It's just, you know, when it comes down to the last 10 minutes, like, you know, all bets are off basically. I mean, when it's 5-1, like, I'm not too upset about it. Like, if this was like a 3-2 game against Carolina, I would have like something more to say. But you know, if he wants to fire a few more pucks on that, like, you know, it's not the end of the world.
No, no, I'm not going to kill him for it. I just think that it's going to come a lot easier for him if he doesn't force it.
Yeah.
Anyways, Dewar scores his 11th goal of the season and his first as a Leaf.
Yep.
You know what I was thinking tonight when Connor Dewar scored? I was thinking, you know, this kid is exactly what we hoped that Noah Gregor was going to be. But he's not. When we like heard about him, like, oh, okay, all right, yeah. And then we watch him play and we're like, oh no, that's not, okay, that's not who he is. But Dewar, he's really got that bottom six grinder role to him, and he can score 11 goals on a season, potentially, right? And it's not like he was playing juiced up minutes in Minnesota. He was on the fourth line. So like, he scores 10 goals, 11 goals, maybe 12 goals by the end of the year. On the fourth line, that's a good player, and like, that's a great Noah Gregor replacement, because you know, you're gonna need another Noah Gregor going into next season, and Dewar will 100% be that guy.
Oh yeah, like, Dewar's like 10 times better than Gregor in my mind. Like, even when you're not noticing him, it's because he's like constantly doing the right thing and just on the right side of the puck, you know, covering for the centerman even when he's playing wing. And if he can pot 10 goals, like, you know, 11, 12 from a fourth line spot, like, I'll take that guy every day of the week. Like, he might not be the biggest guy, but he plays like a little bit feisty. You know, he gets into the areas. He'll dig on the goalie too. Like, he doesn't seem to be afraid of anyone. So yeah, like, when we like talked about him initially, like, I was a little afraid that, you know, a fourth liner from Minnesota coming to play for the Leafs, like, you know, is he a fourth liner? Is he really like a, you know, the next man in kind of a guy? But I have him penciled in. I think he's responsible enough. And, you know, I'm not going to put him up in the top six, but he could go anywhere in the bottom six and play any position. Like, I'm not sure if he plays on the right wing, but I wouldn't doubt that he could.
He's been playing wing, but he's centerman, right?
Like, yeah.
Or has he been playing? I don't know if he's been playing center down there. No, because that would be camp.
No, he had a couple of shifts tonight where he was like a centerman. I think it was like instead of Holmberg on the other line, Kampf wasn't like on the line. If he's out there with Kampf, he's playing the wing.
He can play both. That's the point. Oh, yeah. He can play both. So like, either way, a guy that's going to score you, you know, there's a potential that like, he's 24, finding his pace, you know, like, he gets up into a third line role as a grinder, an energy kind of guy. He could end up putting 15 in the net. Like, that could be a guy, right? So speaking of that, Bobby McMahon has 14 goals this year. At the beginning of the year, if I told you Bobby McMahon was going to have 14 goals, you would have told me that I was crazy and very optimistic.
Oh yeah, like, that would have been a really optimistic take. I think that I would have expected it, like, you know, 5. Like, if he scored 5 up and down the lineup, or in and out of the lineup, I should say. That's kind of what I expected from Bobby. It's not like it's the first time we've ever seen him. You know, he was a guy that he came in and he had impressed in the previous season, and like, we wanted to see him more, but I didn't think that he would be like, you know, a top six kind of guy, you know, scoring like, what'd you just say? 14?
14 now.
Yeah. Like, that's not anywhere where I would have expected him. So,
yeah, nobody
and think did. That he wasn't in this position from the start. So like, if he's in a, like, on Tavares wing from game one, like, this is a 20 goal score.
Yeah, that's straight up. He's a 20 goal score. Yeah. And honestly, it's funny, cause I had this feeling about McMahon, and it's like, you know, you have this feeling about some guys and just the way that they play. And it's, I remember hearing about him and the way he scored like 20 goals in 30 some games last year or something like that for the Marlies as a rookie in the AHL. Just like unbelievable. The kid, he's got it, right? Now he's starting to find his role in the top six. Bobby McMahon, 14 goals. What a stud. He's penciled in 100% in the top six for game one of the playoffs. And I say going forward into next season.
Yeah. And like to think that we were just interchanging him and Gregor in a lot of lineups. And it couldn't be like one of those guys has had like a really positive trend this season. And the other one, not so much, you know, not to be too hard on Noah Gregor, but you know, he's not in my playoff lineup.
He didn't work out.
But like that's kind of why you get these guys that are at like a low cap hit. You get a bunch of them and you don't expect all of them to pan out. But you know, if you get one or two of them, then like that's all you really need.
Trees, you can see the type of play that player that Tree is going for, and I like it a lot more than the type of player that Dubas went for. And I was so adamant about Dubas being a good GM, so I'm not going to sit here and shit on Dubas, but, you know, Tree has really got that style of player. They come in, and I'm like, yes, that's what we need. Yes, more of this. Just leave it to the guys that we already have here to do the fancy-dancy stuff and have all the good numbers.
I feel like Dubas manages a team like he doesn't watch the game, where, you know, Tree manages a team like, you know, he's been on teams. So that I just love that. I couldn't be happier with the GM change. I know that like it was pretty dicey in the first little bit, you know, with the Klingberg and Reeves not onto a good start. But, you know, just the general scope of, like you said, the type of player he's after is way better. Like I like this team way better going into the playoffs than last year. Like I predict that they'll be the tougher team in a series, which is just crazy. But Leafs, the tougher team. Like it's been like how long since that was a thing?
I think they will. I think they're honestly going to go in and they're going to wreck shit better than they have in years previous. All right, I've got questions here from Stephen Land. This guy's been awesome. Thanks for commenting, Stephen. We love having you here. So he wanted to know, how many jerseys do you guys own? So how many jerseys do you own, CP?
That's kind of like, I don't have them all in here. So like, I think like 10, you know, of different sports, something like that, you know, all Toronto. And, I have one Kobe Bryant jersey.
Phenomenal. Yeah. All right. Well, I've only got two. I've got one Marcus Stroman, Toronto Blue Jays jersey that I got as a giveaway. A bunch of years ago. It's his Honda.
I love giveaway jerseys.
Awesome. Yeah, love giveaway jerseys. Then my other jersey is the Leafs jersey that used to hang in the background before I got this awesome Split the Defense piece given to me by Stephen Burnett. That gem of a guy printed for me. But yeah, I only have two, and then Ted's got like hundreds. I don't know. He says here he's got in the comments, he commented back, he's got 10 in the backdrop plus 7 more upstairs. I don't believe that. I think it's more like 70 more he's got. Yeah. There just seems to be so many this guy's got all over the place.
We need to see Ted. Ted, you need to show off your jersey collection for the people. Hey, here he is. Yeah, look at
unbelievable. That. Yeah. Look at the names, Stahl and Crosby and Gretzky, Kane,
Howe. Yep. That's the dream wall right there.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Stamkos up in the corner. Yep, that's so good. So good. All right, what else do we got here? Okay, I wanted to ask you one more thing, and before I ask you what else you got for this. Tyler Bertuzzi, we've talked about this before. 51 games, he had 6 goals. In his past 19 games, he's got 12 goals. 12 goals in 19 games. That's like Austin Matthews pace. This guy's scoring goals. How much is it going to cost to get him re-signed?
That's something that I've put off thinking about for a very long time, because it wasn't worth thinking about for the longest time because he probably wasn't coming back. But since, like you said, the last 19 games, like I don't know. I don't know if he's worth, if it's like $6 million a year, if it's $8 million a year. I have no idea. And how many years you would give him, especially for having like,
oh no, well, he's not going to be a Leaf.
Yeah. Well, not if he's an $8 million player. That's for sure. The thing is like, you can tell that he's a guy that runs off of vibes. Like he was willing to take a discount to stay in Boston because he really liked it there. They just had zero cap to give him and length to give him. So I think like there's a, like, he's a guy that would take a discount. You know, not like when people say discount, like we're not talking millions of dollars here, you know, like hundreds of thousands of dollars. I think he'll be willing to drop if he really enjoys this room. So I don't, but I don't know, like, was he willing to take like the same 5.5 for more years and the Leafs just weren't willing to give him the term, or was he looking for like 6 or 7 for a big contract and that's why he settled for 5.5? So yeah, I don't know, it's kind of tricky. Where do you think he sits? Like,
well, he's 29, right? So if you give him 8 years, then you could give him 5.5 or 6 for 8 years, I think. But otherwise, yeah, I think it's more likely that a better deal and a more likely deal is going to be a team's going to give him 5 or 6 years at $7-ish million. That's my guess is where Tyler Bertuzzi's going to land.
The thing is like, I'd totally give him that. Like, he's so worth it. Judging him on most of his career and just basically forgetting about the first 3 months of the season, it's just the cap hell that this team is on. So, like, I think he's worth it, you know, and especially I think we'll really see how much he's worth it come playoff time. But I, like, yeah, this is the crappy part. This is like the Zach Hyman effect thing where it's just like, yes, like he's worth the money, the contract that he's getting. And now Zach Hyman's worth like triple what he's making, but maybe not triple, but like double.
Yeah. Well,
so like, yeah, it's just
Zach Hyman and Tyler Bertuzzi aren't the same player though.
It's kind of the same at the time, though. Like, I'm not saying that Bertuzzi is going to turn into what Hyman is once he leaves the Leafs, but like, I feel like they're similar as a part of the Leafs at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think it helped that he went to go play with, you know, McDavid. If Bertuzzi could go, that's probably where he's going to go anyways, right? If he doesn't sign with the Leafs, you know where he's going in the Oilers. Like, they're going to go next year. Canucks. If they don't win this year, like, they're going to end up winning the cup with like 14 fucking Leafs on it, or previous Leafs on that team. It's like, oh yeah, that guy used to be Leaf. That guy used to be Leaf. Oh yeah, now they all won with Connor McDavid. And guess what? He re-signs in Edmonton and we all cry. So that's just how it's going to be. I think he's going to make a boatload of money though, and I think he's worth it. I just don't think the Leafs are going to be able to end up paying for that $7 million deal. And if we're getting into the nitty gritty of it, the Leafs fucked up so hard by not giving Zach Hyman the $5 million or whatever in no trade. Apparently, like, I'm hearing that Zach Hyman only didn't sign in Toronto because he couldn't get a no trade contract.
Yeah.
Or no trade clause.
It was a sub $5 million contract and they wouldn't give him a no trade.
Like, for fuck's sakes, you stupid idiots.
Like, I couldn't be more happy Dubas is gone. Wait, that's a Dubas thing, right?
Fuck's sakes. Yeah, that's him trying to fucking finally own his balls or whatever. Like, oh, that's just so bad. So bad losing him for that.
The more interesting contract to me is the Domi one, because I think Domi's definitely staying.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like he's definitely worth more than he's going to make for a Leaf. Like, they're going to squeeze that guy. And
4x5, I think he gave him $20 million.
Yeah. Like, we kind of went over the amount, you know, but like, I'm just interested to see, you know, if like, is that a one that's actually going to pan out? Cause like, I have a little bit written off Bertuzzi being here next year, to be honest. Like,
a little bit. Yeah. I don't expect him here either.
Yeah.
But Domi,
I feel like a long term player here. And so, yeah, like, that's the more interesting one that I want to see, cause that'll be a Leafs contract, not Bertuzzi making 7x8 for, like you said, Edmonton or Canucks or something. So,
you know, there was a pass tonight made by Max Domi that I think 17 out of 18 other players tonight would have dumped in. And he took it to the line and he just kind of feathered it in as a dump. And Matthews was able to skate over the line. He didn't have to chase after it. It was just like right there for him. The guy's got such a great pass on him. The other night, he snapped one to William Nylander. It was one of the hardest passes I've ever seen in my whole entire life. William Nylander was standing on the half boards or whatever, or right at the blue line, opposing blue line. And Domi just snaps him a pass. And it was one of the hardest and most accurate passes. And Willie just, boom, takes it and goes. He's just got such a nice playmaking touch to him. You don't want that guy to go. Like, he can stick around for a long, long time here.
Yeah, and like, he even caught Matthews off guard with his stick not on the ice last game. you know, yeah. just snapped it from like behind the net.
Backhand.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, it's, that's hard to do. And it's like, there's a Marner type of like, you know, finesse to his saucer passes. Like, yes. especially he's coming into the zone, like feeding a man coming down the wing. And yeah, like there's only a few guys in the league that can really like, you know, pick up and put down a puck like that close together, that speed. And like, you know, there's two of them on the Leafs, and you know, it's Marner and Domi. Like, it's hard to see anyone else that has the talent to pass like that. You know, Bertuzzi actually does surprise me a lot with how good his passing is, especially backhand passes. Like, I swear that guy can backhand it like crazy. But yeah, Domi's, he's in that top tier of playmaker. And like, if he just could play defense a little bit better, this would be like a $7-8 million player. But like, yeah, he just, I don't want that. I know, because we couldn't afford him.
No, I like exactly Domi how he is. He's perfect how he is.
Yeah, I just mean he would be like Marner, but
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then he'd be playing on some other team that didn't already pay all their players. But yeah, I think that's a great point to make, that Domi's probably more likely a long-term stick-around guy. Do you have anything else on this game, CP?
Not really, no. That's it.
Well, do you want to do a little Jays corner? Because today was opening day for the Toronto Blue Jays in all of baseball, in fact. We think we had all 30 of 30 teams in action today, and the Toronto Blue Jays took on the Tampa Bay Rays. Final score of 8-2, so now they're on pace to win 162 games this year. They've got home runs from Springer, Vladdy, and Biggio. Three home runs on opening day. The water is wet, buddy. Barrios, six innings pitched, two earned runs, one walk, and six strikeouts. So good outing for Barrios. Now, I was worried after the first inning. Were you worried after the first inning?
Talk about two innings, maybe.
Two innings. Yeah, all the way through the order, three innings even.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt a little bit like last year. Just like Barrios, you know, obviously you gave up a home run, very first pitcher or pit or very first batter. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But it was an excellent pitch. It was like 3 inches inside the zone. And, you know, like I forget who he was, but just turned on it. And so like, yeah, he was pitching excellent, but just the offense was just getting stood up a little bit. And, you know, that's going to happen. Like, it's baseball. We can't like really, I'm trying not to dwell on last year too much, but it was kind of tough not to, like, I think it was like 6 strikeouts, 9 batters, not looking the hottest. Justin Turner, the guy who's supposed to come up and kind of turn things around, you know, be able to get a hit when they need him, you know, he's kind of not doing it. But you know, it was good to see that Biggio was the guy that really, you know, cracked one to get it going. But the Vladdy home run, like 450, just demolished it.
Blasted it.
I like, he smashed that ball. And like, that's one of the most important things for this Jays team, is just that Vladdy gets back to who he was.
If this team wants to have any success, Vladdy has to be his best self. Bo Bichette, we are relying on being Bo Bichette again. You need, I guess there's a couple players. You need George Springer and you need Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to be the guys that pull this thing together. And honestly, a better offensive season from Dalton Varsho, because last year was abysmal. I know he's a great defender, premium defender, plays multiple positions. The guy can catch if you want him to, which is awesome. And he can steal bases. He's actually had a really good spring. He stole a lot of base. He was like 8-for-15 or something like that, 8-for-16. But, you know, you need those guys to really find that offense. Kevin Biggio, that is just an absolute bonus. If that guy can start playing amazingly, I don't think he wants to be the second girl here anymore. Like, he doesn't want to be, he wants to be the belle of the ball. Like, you know, like I am, like, you know, I'm not just the other, you know, a generational player. Like, my dad was here too, but like, he hasn't been as good. He hasn't been the talk since the very beginning as Vladimir Guerrero and Bo Bichette. But Kevin Biggio, man, if he can turn it on, all of a sudden this team's going to start to look scary.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with a lot of that. I'm not so confident in Springer, to be honest. Like, he's had an excellent spring, just like Vladdy has. But, I mean, age is a thing in baseball, and, like, we've kind of, there's been a like, his downturn has started. You know, there's no doubt about it. And he's not an excellent fielder. So, but I don't think he's as important as, like, you know, like you said, Vladdy, Varsho, you know, Kirk. You know, Kirk was a silver slugger 2 years ago. You know, like, that's a guy who just was probably one of the biggest regressions.
Massive regression. Yeah.
And when you can have a catcher that can, like, actually be a contributing hitter, you know, put up 20, 25, 30 home runs, like, that's something that's just one of the rarest things in baseball, you know? And so I think he's extremely important to this team. And it's, and actually they have quite the duo in catching with Danny Jansen, who's, you know, injured to start
right now,
but he'll be back. And I mean, he'll probably be hurt again because that's just what he does. But that's, you know, he's good to be in there. He can be a DH when, you know, Turner needs a day off. And yeah, there's a lot of things that I'm being really positive about this team going in. I hear, like, a lot of people that I talk to about the Jays are just like, they believe that it's same team, same result. But I feel like they were, like, impossibly bad at hitting last year. And I just think that, like, they're bound to be better there.
And also hitting with runners in scoring position, not so much at hitting. There was a bunch of guys who had good years in averages, and a few guys, you know, hit good amounts of home runs. They just couldn't hit with runners in scoring position. And today they did that.
Yeah. To be honest, like, today was the opposite of last year because, like, they were, like you said, hitting, but they would get about one or two hits an inning, end the game with 10 hits and zero runs, where, like, the other team gets, like, six hits and three runs. And it's just the most frustrating thing in the world. You know, like, yes, they're hitting, but just at inopportune times. And yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I just think the one thing is that their pitching just is not going to be as good as last year. Like, they were so lucky injury wise. And I don't, like, and already this season, we've seen that, you know, Gausman has a little thing, Bassett has a little thing. You know, it's nice that Barrios is, like, a veteran season opener guy. And it's just not going to be quite as good in the pitching department. And, like, you know, like, they lost a really good reliever in Jordan Hicks. They're starting the season without Romano and Swanson.
Without Romano. Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, I think, though, that there's going to level out. And I see this being just, like, and you could almost mail into me a 90 win season. Like, I feel it. I think it's going to happen. I just will get, just like I do when I watch the Leafs, is, like, you get to playoff time and, you know, they've just put up three stinkers in a row. So, you know, that's really when things will be determined, like, how this season has gone. But I feel like the pressure's off them. And I think that they have a way better attitude this year too.
Yeah, well, hopefully they have better luck. Hopefully they can get some runners around the bases and score some runs. Baseball has begun. That means playoffs are right around the corner. And bad news, reading Twitter here. As per Luke Fox, Timothy Liljegren is going to miss some time, per Keefe.
With what?
Well, David Alter doesn't say either. Sheldon Keefe says Timothy Liljegren is going to miss some time for us. There's not much to hear on that, but he's not going to be playing for the next few games. So now you've got no Yarncroke, you got no Marner, now you got no Liljegren, no Edmondson.
Currently no Riley.
No Riley. Well, Riley's sick.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? It's an illness. Keefe's like, it's not like it's an injury. He's going to be better and he's going to come back.
Yeah, and Marner's very close to being back as well. That's very unfortunate, especially just, like, timing-wise with how, you know, he's really, you know, been on one of those hot streaks that he's been prone to maybe falling off of, but he hadn't yet. So that's a tough one. I don't like when they say some time because, like, you know.
That's
like
just the way Sheldon Keefe always puts it.
He's also always lying. Like, how long was Marner day-to-day before he, like, joked about, like, haha, I've been calling him day-to-day, but now he's actually day-to-day.
No, he was day-to-day away from being day-to-day. It's like, you know, but what is his name, Bruno Caboloco or whatever his name was? He was 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Yeah, I know. But, like, it was he was being, like, he was just nothing for the first couple of days before it became that, you know, so.
But yeah, and now apparently he's day-to-day. He skated today. He did practice to fill the lines instead of Matthews because Matthews has got the shits as well. So apparently everybody's got the flu for the 18th time in the Leafs locker room.
Jeez, vitamin C guys, multivitamins. So, like, what are you doing?
It's got to be the worst season for the flu for the Leafs, isn't it? Like, yeah, the worst.
I feel like as soon as they get out of it, like, something else comes through. Like, it was, what was it, like, 2 weeks ago where Matthews was battling the flu or something? Like, yeah. Stop eating Chinese food.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad shawarma. Yeah. Too much Uber Eats.
That's right.
Anyways, I got one more. Connor Dewar on the biggest adjustment from being traded to Toronto. He says traffic.
Oh, God. I don't doubt it.
Coming from the Paw, Winnipeg, and then going to Minnesota. Yeah, I would think so too.
I forget who else it was that recently brought that up, but yeah, I mean, no question. The traffic in Toronto is ridiculous. It's crazy.
Absolutely crazy. Yeah. All right, so Maple Leafs play the Sabres again Saturday, 7 p.m., and what do you expect from that game? Do you think the Sabres are cooked? Or do you think they're just going to come and, you know, fuck with the Leafs anyways? Or do you think they're cooked and they're actually just not a good team and they're not going to be good?
I mean, they always seem to play the Leafs tough. So, I don't know. I'm always worried about Rasmus Dahlin. So, yeah, we'll see. I think it'll be a tough game. And but we'll go from there.
Buffalo that was coming off a back-to-back that night, too. They played Jersey the night before.
Oh, good to know.
So they have that a little bit in your favor,
maybe.
Definitely
a loss for the Leafs.
Yep. So, yeah, even better. They're definitely going to lose, yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back on Saturday after then. That's a wrap for now. Split the defense, Leafs post game. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for commenting. Hit that like button. Subscribe on YouTube. Please rate and review the show. You can find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all other socials. Until next time, peace.
Peace. Thanks, Steven. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs Postgame Edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.